Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? God is going to do something big today. And I'm excited because we have a big God. We just finished hearing a song about God's mercy. Hallelujah. It's great to see faces that more and more I'm getting to recognize and learn names what a privilege it is to grow together as a church family. Because today in our communion service is one of those moments that growth happens. I'd like to also welcome some familiar faces from Cape Junction, Bob and Mary. How fitting that on the week that my wife and I move into the Roseburg community, we get to have communion. We've been so blessed by your hospitality, blessed by your love and service that you've given to us, whether it was in helping us move or in bringing food or housing us, helping us with odds and ends, helping us paint, or gracing our home with your flowers. In short, thank you. We do not have words to express all that you've done on our behalf. Our very first communion as a church family. And I know it will be a memorable one. It won't be a full-length sermon today, but just something for us to chew on as we continue this morning. Turn with me to our scripture reading, the Gospel according to Matthew. I'd like to say that I had many, many, many hours this week to spend on sermon preparation. But I talked to him, and I asked him what to preach. And he said, "Preach this." So I said, "Okay." Sounded like a good idea to me. The Bible says, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." I know this text doesn't scream, "Oh, preach me on communion Sabbath." But there's a lot to think about in these two verses that we just finished reading. The 12 quickly realize that following Jesus is not exactly just, you know, be with Jesus and everything's going to be okay. But here Jesus tells them, "You just can't be with me the whole time. You need to go. You need to actually go into the community." And to do that, let me tell you, it takes some faith. He told them what to preach, and it was the shortest sermon I've ever heard. "The kingdom of God," bless you, "is at hand." And that stuff is still true. The kingdom of God is at hand. In our common vernacular in 2016, it would sound like this: Jesus is coming soon. Jesus didn't say, "Preach the sermon once, so I'll preach it again." Jesus is coming soon. Do you believe that? Amen. The world is crying to us, telling us that he's coming is indeed very soon. And so he tells them to do four things. We find that in verse 8. Very simple stuff. Oh yeah, go through to the lost sheep of Israel and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and last but not least, cast out devils. Could you imagine the 12 asking each other, how do we do that? They had seen Jesus do these things, and now it was their turn. If Jesus were to tell you and I to do these very four same things, would we respond, you know what, that was for the 12 2,000 years ago. But for us here in Roseburg, that's not for us. Listen to this. This is taken from Medical Ministry, page 334. None who receive the grace of Christ can keep it to themselves. As soon as Christ becomes an abiding presence in the heart, we shall not be able to see souls perishing in ignorance of the truth and be at rest. Ellen White wrote, none who receive the grace of Christ can keep it to themselves. Translation, you want to know how the sick are healed? You want to know how the dead are raised? You want to know how the lepers are cleansed and the devils are cast out? We need to accept the grace of Christ. For it is in his grace and receiving his grace that now we receive his power. No Jesus, no power. Jesus, power. It is in accepting his grace that now we have what we do not have in and of ourselves. You see, once upon a time, true story, Peter and John went to pray. You know the story. They came across some lame beggar. And he asked them for some green stuff. Peter responds, silver and gold have I nada. But what did he say next? But such as I have, give I to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Peter was talking about what he had. He had received the grace of Christ, and now Peter says, in the name of Christ, this stuff that I have, now you get up. And that is the same thing that Jesus calls us to do today. How do I know that this is what he desires us to do? It's because of what the last part of verse 8 says. Freely ye have received. Freely give. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and on, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift the gift of God. I like me some gifts, even if it's not Christmas. But you know what makes a gift? Is that I didn't earn it. Because if I worked for it, then that would be my wage. But what makes a gift is that there's nothing I could do to earn it. But then the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So as I receive Christ, now he changes me to serve him, and my life represents his grace in my life, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Probably the most well-known verse in all the scripture, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, in these two verses, talks to us about a merciful God, talks to us about a gracious God, about a giving God. And that's exactly what Jesus said at the end of Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. So my question is, what have you received? Have you received the grace of God in Christ Jesus? Because this grace changes us. This grace makes me be nice to my wife. This grace makes me treat my neighbor good because now I got church members as neighbors. This grace makes me want to think of others rather than just me, myself, and I. When we think of John 3:16, did he grudgingly give? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does he grudgingly forgive us? I gotta forgive them. They did it again. Does he grudgingly serve us? But what about me? Do I grudgingly give? I mean, I am the pastor, so I kind of have to give, you know. Well, I guess I have to forgive you because if I don't forgive you, then he doesn't forgive me. So at the end of the day, it's all about me. Do I grudgingly serve? Do I grudgingly share the good news of Jesus Christ? I mean, because Jesus is coming soon, and I don't want that responsibility on my shoulders, so let me just get done with that. Do I give of myself grudgingly for the cause of Christ? I've come to realize that God must be a cheerful giver. You know why? Because he doesn't stop. He keeps on giving and giving and giving. The very air that you're breathing right now is a gift from God. Being here, worshiping God in spirit and in truth is a gift of God. Jesus finishes with the instructions. And then he tells them, go. I've told you what to do. Go. But could you imagine being the disciples? Okay, you want us to do this. You want us to heal the sick, cast out the demons, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers. And now we got to actually go do it. Maybe if I go by myself, nobody will notice. Maybe my fellow disciple, when I come and give back the report, maybe I can kind of inflate what happened. How did Jesus tell the disciples to go? Two by two. That's interesting if you ask me. Because how is it that I'm going to work with so-and-so if I can't stand so-and-so? How is it that I'm going to serve the living, gracious, loving God when I can't forgive my partner? You see, How is it that I'm going to work with you if I can't stand being around you? I don't want to know you. I don't want to be nice to you. I don't want to love you. I don't want to appreciate you. And frankly, I don't forgive you for what you did to me. The verse says, freely you have received, freely give. You see, even the animals went into the ark 2x2. They went together. And the things in the cause of God work together. For we are the body of Christ. We are his bride. The mission that God has given to his disciples, not just 2,000 years ago, but in 2016, starts with the grace of Christ. Because there still are people who are sick that need to be healed. There still are dead people to be raised. Dead people aren't limited to living, or sleeping rather, in the cemetery. I see resurrections all the time. We can even be in the church and be dead walking. Some people call it sleepwalking. But it's amazing when we have an encounter with Christ, the lights turn on. Now, we want to know Jesus more than anything. Now, all we want to do is share Jesus. We're also called to cast out demons. Sometimes we think that demon possession is just where eyes roll back and foam comes out of the mouth. There's some truth to that. But I must be clear. There's only two spirits in this world. Either we're led by the Spirit of God or by the spirit of the devil. And the sooner we have that clear in our minds, we will know which way to go, because the Spirit of God works in conjunction with his word. Jesus is coming soon. And today, we're given a reminder. Today, I'm given a reminder of what I need. Jesus said, I will not partake of the fruit of the vine until when? Until you're there together with me. And so today, this communion service is in preparation for when we get to partake of the Lord's Supper in glory. Isn't that good news? But if I don't make things right with the Lord, things will never be right with my neighbor. If I don't accept the grace of Christ, I will never have the power of Christ. And so today, church family, he has put you and I in this community to fulfill this mission. And last time I checked, Jesus said, and this gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. This gospel shall be preached in the highways and byways of Roseburg, and then Jesus will come as his gospel reaches around the world. I don't know where you may be with Jesus today. Maybe you came here thinking we were just going to have a worship service, have potluck and go home. I'll be back next week. But have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Not just when you were taking studies to be baptized. Have you accepted him today? Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Have you accepted him into your heart anew? Because that's where he desires to be. Because it is this grace in your heart that now God will be using to revolutionize not only our church, but this community. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what God will do. My question is that your desire? As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we practice open communion. That means whether or not you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian or a different Christian, but a believer in Christ, you are welcome and invited to partake. Before we partake of the sacred emblems, we serve one another. We love one another freely. We have rooms set up in the corridor where the ladies can serve one another. We have also another area for gentlemen to wash one another's feet. We have also in the BLC for couples. We also have, is it two or three? I believe it's three. If there's any others, you'll get the memo. But what an opportunity to make things right with your brother and sister in Christ. Because if that grace can't change our hearts, it won't change our relationships, and much less the mission that he's given us. And so once we're done finishing serving one another, we'll come back to this place. It may be that you are ready for communion service. It may be that you're not. If maybe you're not prepared, don't leave. Stay. And spend some time in prayer, in contemplation of the sacrifice of Christ for your behalf. That way we can be further prepared for next time. But if you did come prepared, may this be a time where God further does the work that he started a long time ago until the day of Christ Jesus. Let us serve one another. May the Lord bless us.